It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Greetings, Mark.
Hey, zooming in from, Alaska. No, it's the other A, Arizona.
Yeah.
Beautiful Arizona, particularly this time of year. Lots of people from the Northwest journey there, snowbirds. But you moved there permanently and are doing your practice there now.
Yeah, and here in Arizona and still in Washington. No longer just simply in Washington, the greater Seattle area, but any part of Washington, actually, and any part of Arizona, because it's all virtual these days with me. So.
And we've talked about how so much of your counseling was already going pretty much all virtual anyway. So that seems to be the trend ever since, particularly the pandemic, and so much more convenient for people. And do you think people can be a little bit more candid with you about their issues when they're on Zoom?
Well, I think in some ways, once we get past the initial difference, they have an expectation of going into the office. But in some ways, when people are in their own home, it sort of alleviates some of the distance that you have in the counseling office, because it takes a while for people to relax in the counseling office. You know, they're moving into a different environment that's not their home environment. It's not the environment where they deal with the situations. It's a clinical environment. And although people like the idea, I think it's a traditional idea of kind of bifurcating the help from the hurtful environment or the difficult environment, that may not be always the best way to go about it. So I've found that people get over that hump a little quicker when they're in their familiar, safe surroundings. And so maybe they can relax a little bit. But I think for a lot of people, there's that first bit of an adjustment. But it's going well. People are adjusting to it. So it's good.
Okay. This is a continuation of the subject last week, managing life. So kind of what is the meaning of life? Kind of a big subject. And you kind of delved into it last week. And we're continuing this discussion this week. So why don't you review a little bit of what you mean by managing life?
Right. And by the way, just a reminder, BibleBasedCounselor.com is where you will find part one of this series and about 10 years or more of other podcasts. But part one of this has been posted now at BibleBasedCounselor.com. So you can go back and review that, or if you haven't heard it, go back and hear it. I will review just a bit of it, though, today.
Okay.
Managing life, when we talk about managing life, particularly I think in the counseling or coaching setting, we're talking about managing stressful situations, conflicting situations in life. And we brought out last week, we talked about that verse from John 16, in the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we talked about how managing life, quite often, I mean, you could think of managing life as managing tribulation. So in that first radio show, the first part of this, we talked about how do you see tribulation, not just the apocalyptic end of all things.
Not that kind of tribulation, right?
Not simply that, because Jesus said that he had overcome the world. And I think that our situations, our stressful situations, are part of the world that he overcame. When he said, be of good cheer, it's not just in the apocalyptic events, but it's in our day in and out of days. But you get the point.
Right.
And so we also touched on the fact that to manage anything, really, for a business, for example, or a relationship, for example, getting a little tongue-tied here. A relationship, for example, also, you have to know something of the purpose and the process of whatever it is you're going to manage. So we focused on the purpose and process of life, and talked about the frustrations in life are often maybe due to lack of understanding the purpose of life. And in particular, now, the purpose of trials and tribulations, because You know, Jesus, in fact, I think it was John 17, he was praying to the Father, and he said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. You know, we're in the world, and he said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. So I think we talked about maybe a paraphrase of that, a proper prayer paraphrase of John 16:33 might be, in the world, you will have disappointment, but be of good cheer. All these disappointments are in my employee, and they belong to me, and they're on our side. Something to that effect, that our trials and tribulations are not outside of the purview and purpose of God. We also talked about boiling, the fundamental experience of mankind being one of moral choice, that is the knowledge of good and evil, and to, more exactly, the knowledge of God. And getting to know God. So we talked about just going back to the very beginning and seeing the simple explanation of life hidden in between the lines in Genesis 1, where we have, first of all, you have God, and then next you have light and dark. And you could stop right there, because life is that simple. It's, if it's not light, it's dark. Mm-hmm. And we talked about if your eye is single, then your body is filled with light. And if your eye is evil, and we kind of looked at that, you know, why would Jesus oppose the words single and evil? Of course, those are English words, but we trace those back to the Greek, and they've done, in fact, that word for single is the Greek word haplos, and it means without a fold, without duplicity, and it's an antonym of diplos, which means double, where we get our word duplicity, and so singleness, that way the English translates that, if your eye is single, that's a good and proper translation of that Greek word, and then the opposing word evil, and so we thought, so mm-hmm. that kind of that suggested to us that the idea of the way being straight and the gate being very narrow, it's either light or it's dark, it's either good or it's evil, and there's not this vast no man's land of situation ethics and moral gray. It's either, in God's eyes, it's either good or evil. It's the knowledge of good and evil. It's the knowledge of God. Mm. And if your eye is not single, then it's evil. So the line is very thin. So I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that first part and get the context for where we're going.
Okay.
Going today. So now we want to start off just by kind of reiterating that all of life is about knowing God. Mm. That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was not just simply a moral test, but interestingly, it wasn't the tree of evil or the tree of the knowledge of evil, but it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So I think we have to consider, if not assume, that before they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they did not have the knowledge of good and evil. But that was all about knowing God. God's not interested that we know evil, but the thing is that they come as a package. We are cognitive creatures, and so we, there's a scripture, and I believe it's Isaiah, where I believe it's Isaiah, it could be Ezekiel, I think it's Isaiah, where scripture says, God says, I create light and make darkness, I create peace and make evil. And he's not talking about creating peace and making evil acts, but he's just reiterating, I make light, I create light and I make darkness, or I make light and create darkness, create peace and make evil. He's just reiterating this, these things are spatial counterparts, and if it's not single or knowing God, then it's other than that. And so I think the point that I'm trying to stress here is that in our situations, every conscious moment is about the knowledge of good and evil. It's about knowing God. So every situation can be an intimate experience of God in contrast to what God is not. And this includes our trials and our tribulations. I think when we, by our nature, when we set out to manage life or manage these situations and manage trials, we tend to want to manage along lines that align with how we want life to be. What's comfortable for us? What feels good? And that's really kind of a humanistic perspective, being perspective where man and the welfare of our human existence, the welfare of our human existence, is kind of the focus. Mm. And I wanted to jump back a bit. And this isn't a departure, but it is a jump back in my notes here. That, you know, I think this idea of the comfort in our human existence being the focus is what underlies a lot of the widespread use of mood-altering drugs. And that's not to say that some of these things aren't necessary. I was just dealing with a situation yesterday where there was a woman who is going, a man actually, whose wife was experiencing onset of Alzheimer's, and she was emotionally really out of control, and she had to be sedated with medication. And that there's just, you know, no way around it. I don't know the cause of Alzheimer's. It's part of our fallenness, as all these diseases are. They're, you know, and these hazmat bodies just weren't going to last forever. So I don't know the cause of those, but it's in the drinking water now. And some of these things have to be, there's just no way around medication. You can't. So that's not to say that the use of medications are, can be avoided entirely, but they're vastly overused in the area of stress management and situation management. Mm. And so I think understanding the purpose of tribulation, that it is actually an experience of it's actually part of a moral choice. It's actually it's an experience of good and evil. To understand that would alleviate a lot of the use of the altering of the medications that you use for stress management. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't make the trials go away, but explaining them, you'd be able to embrace them. And mm-hmm. we do that. No pain, no gain. Mm-hmm. We embrace pain if we understand it. Mm-hmm. So we're rolling into a break here, I think.
Yeah, we need to take a quick break. Be back in just a few moments. Life management. Maybe this incorporates, he's called the counseling and life coach. Maybe life coach part of what you do is kind of more where we're talking this week. If people need help from you via Zoom these days, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, sir. The phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. We're working in Washington and Arizona these days. I want to remind people of the Bible-Based Counselor website, where you'll find these podcasts. And yeah, I think that covers it.
Okay, taking a quick break. Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, and talking about life management this week, wrapping up a two-part series. How does tribulation that happens to all of us work into God's plan? I think you brought up that interesting scripture about how God makes evil and good, and that's a huge theological subject, as you might be aware. You know,
it is
about how and God. You know, if God knew this was going to happen to me, why did He let it happen? And you know, does God's foreknowledge? I personally, I think God, yes, God knows the future, but it doesn't mean he causes everything. But that's a whole other subject.
Yeah, well, it is. And for people that are interested in that, I've got a website, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, ChristianCounselorsForum.com. And the current article up there that I did some time ago is on is a brief theodicy. And a theodicy is an explanation, attempt at explaining the presence of evil, given that God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-loving. And so it's kind of an explanation there if people are interested in that. But yeah, when it says that God creates evil, in that context, I create light and make darkness. That's the motif. That's meant to explain the next line, which says, you know, I create peace and make evil. Well, how do you create peace and make evil? Well, the same way you create light and make dark. You know, when you show us a flashlight in a room, you make shadows. You make light, but you also make what is not light. Mm. And so that's how God, by making peace, that's the whole thing of the knowledge of good and evil. And again, as we're cognitive creatures, we know things by contrast. When I say, you know, if I were to tell you it's very warm here in Arizona, you would say, well, in, you know, warm, what does that mean? Well, it means not cold. You know, and so we, you know, we call these things spatial counterparts. Whenever you have two things that are opposed or opposites, if I speak of one, I'm inferring the other. And so that's the thing, that it was not the tree of the knowledge of evil. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm. In order for us to understand God, we have to experience what is not God. And that's the pain of tribulation and trials. The thing that drives us to God is the distaste for evil and the consequences of it. So that's why we're driven to God. If it weren't for that, if it weren't for the knowledge of evil, or the experience of the distaste and the discomfort and the tragedy of evil, there would be no reason to be drawn to the goodness of God.
Yeah, there's that old song, if I didn't have any problems, I wouldn't know that God could solve them.
Yeah.
That's an Aubrey Crouch hymn.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's true. I mean, that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. So managing life, you know, in the natural way that we do this, without understanding, without embracing the purpose of trials and tribulations to teach us about God, not just about God. Let me correct that. The trials and tribulations are not just to teach us about God. They are to lead us to know God, know God intimately. You know, when we're managing trials and tribulations in our life and we're surrendering to those to the Lord, we don't always get a crystal clear answer for our problems, but we learn to trust. We learn to rely. We learn to know that, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. So a lot of these things we realize are beyond our comprehension and our understanding, but they are for our good. And why, you know, we could ask, why all the drama? Why the knowledge of good and evil? And it's because we have an ultimate high calling. Mm. We are to be not just like angels or beasts that have an awareness of God, but we're to be the God family. We're called to be the God family. Mm. We have to know these things. And so God's teaching us these things. Mm. But in our, I wanted to touch on a couple of other things. So in our idea of managing life, and really the secular idea of managing life, if you go for secular counseling, they will teach you these tools, management life tools, but they're really for managing life involves affirming beliefs about our safety and security. In other words, if I go to a counselor and I'm really stressed about something, the reason I'm stressed is because I have a belief system that these things should not be happening to me. Mm. And so the counselor will help me to embrace it. Yes, you're right. They shouldn't be happening to you. And so let's try this, this, and the other. And so a lot of times these affirm a belief system. And of course, these belief systems about my safety and security, as we've talked and alluded to many times on the radio show, are based in fear and shame. And it's a personality. So I'm going to just make a quick note on personality before we pass on here.
Okay.
So I was saying that personalities are defense mechanisms, and we've talked about that before. Personalities are defense mechanisms having to do with my safety and security, or as we've talked in many shows about feeling valued, having control over situations and circumstances, and having resources, or value, control, and power. So I've boiled it down even further, and I don't know if I can boil it down further than this. This is about as simple as we can make personalities, but
Okay.
personalities are expressions of a belief system. A personality is an expression of a belief system concerning my safety and security. A
Okay.
personality is an expression of a belief system concerning my security and safety. Now, the belief system is not correct. I mean, there are a lot of things that I believe about my safety and security that are not correct, and they have to do, they come to light when I'm confronted by trials and tribulations. And the trials and tribulations don't have to be very big. If I've got my heart set on fried chicken for dinner, and my wife said, thought we'd have some leftover chili, and I kind of go south on that, and say, well, why am I upset about that? Well, because, I have a belief about my safety and security, and it says, I should get what I have
It's time for
expected to get.
chicken. It's time for
Yeah,
chicken.
it's time for chicken. And I had an expectation, and that expectation should be met. And if that expectation is not met, then I have no control over circumstances in my life. And
So this is normal kind of personality behavior. You're not talking about, there's something else that you've talked about in previous shows, and that's personality disorders,
yeah,
where
or
it's
disordered
become,
personal. Yeah.
disorder. So that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about just normal human functioning, life managing functioning involves a
Yeah.
personality, and that's okay.
Involves a personality in these, but these mood swings that I have are these overreactions to chili versus, you could say, well, is that a disordered personality? It's a little bit disordered. I mean, chicken versus chili. Yes, I have my preferences. But as I view this, and I get upset about this, and I start pounding my fist, about, what we're having for dinner. And you can think of lots of other,
Sure.
a flat tire on the side of the road
You
and
throw
get
a
upset
fit,
and throw
throw
a
a
fit.
tantrum.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
so,
That you have a
and
juvenile
so,
personality if that's going
yeah,
on.
yeah, that, yeah, that is a,
You
yes, a
haven't grown
juvenile
up.
system.
Right.
Yeah. You call that a pathological juvenile or,
Right. I think there's a lot of that in our world today because kids are so much more indulged, it seems like. That's another show.
So the, in our personalities, we use to avoid vulnerability, to put it, simply. And here's the thing: we not only avoid vulnerability, like the fried chicken and chili. I'm not only avoiding vulnerability horizontally between my wife and I, but there's something that's going on at that same moment. I'm avoiding vulnerability vertically. Because I'm not even looking at this chili and fried chicken thing. I'm not even considering that God is in this too. That this is part of the world that Christ overcame. And this is part of the tribulation of the trials of the little situations that are intended to be a moment of getting to know God. Now, we don't like to boil life down that way. We again, the narrow path and the narrow gate. We want there to be the church service, and then far, far away is what we call evil, and there's this vast no man's land of situation ethics and moral gray. And so I get a sound off about the chicken and the chili. It's got nothing to do with God. It's got nothing to do with knowing God. And we want to get away from treating life that way. Our human nature, is to hide from God then by our personalities. I'm going to jump ahead here. Yeah, I'm going to jump ahead here, Mark.
Okay.
So this is why our response to situations and our natural human responses, rather than to embrace a situation, is to, if we think about God, we question God or we blame God. It's a way of staying distant, and but the tribulation is for knowing God. So this is what I would say. This is what I would say in closing, and I did jump a couple of points, but this is what I'll say in closing. In order to embrace the process of life, the tribulations and the trials, of course, we've talked about, we have to understand them. We have to understand that the tribulations, the moral choice, the knowledge of good and evil, which does, it's not just the knowledge of good, it's the knowledge of good and evil. And so knowing that those come together so that if we can embrace those things, understanding the purpose of those things will help us in managing those trials and tribulations, and hopefully avoiding some of these medications by approaching these things biblically. So there are a lot of good corrective tools, life management tools to correct and guide the process of life. You know, they can be enhancing relationships or problem resolution or organizational tools, boundaries. We can learn all these things through books and in counseling. But the bottom line is this: if we don't embrace the purpose of life and the purpose of life's trials, then these tools are ultimately not going to be of any account, because they will be we'll just be missing the point.
Okay, kind of a big subject, but bringing it in for a landing, the life management, managing life this week with Daniel Pryor. People need some help with their life management. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is still 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. You'll find these podcasts at BibleBasedCounselor.com. You can also email me through that website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Again, virtual all my counseling now, the state of Washington and Arizona, too.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.